You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae, and I'm Monique LeRae. How's it going? How's your Sunday today? We have an amazing show today. I always say that, but we really do. I mean, I'm kind of stepping up my game this season for you guys. I linked up with some amazing PR people who have talent. Like, I can find talent, right? But they have talent that I probably otherwise wouldn't have access to. So I think it's good to every year try to be better, do better. Look at my mic, guys. What's going on? I got lint going on. So that's what we're going to do. So, but today we have three guests. Two of them, if you're watching, if you've ever watched my shows, there's two of them that you know, right? That come on and give us updates. And then there's a new one, which is the one I got from my new source, if you will. So I'm really excited because I'm going to have a lot of new authors on here and some authors that are established. So just, you know, stay tuned to the show. You know, yes, there's the usual suspects, and that's always nice. And let me give you a recap of what's been going on. I am in the middle of, oh man, I'm editing. You know, you think you've got your work done and then you just want to do better, right? You want it to be perfect. And that's the way I kind of work. With the Pandemic Project documentary, I know 2 years of hearing me talk about it. We are looking to submit to Sundance. So I'm working on that. And I am, so I'm trying to make sure that that's glare. See that glare? I'm working on that because the deadline is tomorrow. So we are hustling. I mean, you know, I want it to be perfect. So I'm making some last minute changes. And then that's it. I'm going to hand it over to the world. I'm going to let you guys judge it. So immediately, we are submitting to Sundance as of tomorrow night, and that'll be the first film festival that we're submitting the whole film. So if you're keeping track, we have eight nomination selections/wins total. So it's a combination, like two selections, two semifinalists, two wins, and then two nominations, I believe, for just the trailer. So we're at eight, a total of eight. So I'm hoping we can get some for the full film. I'm a little nervous. It's kind of like my baby. You want people to enjoy it, but you also want to protect it. It's your first one, even though on the heels of that, we have the international version. And then just announced on social media, we're going to do a third part, which is going to be called the Endemic Project documentary. Sam, I know you're tired of hearing me talk about it. Shout out to Sam here at LA Talk Radio. He's been putting up with me on this. But I think it's going to pay off, guys. I think it's going to be really good. And there's going to be some people that you recognize in there. Some people that you're like, wait a minute, I know her or him from. So that's going to make it fun because, you know, there'll be some recognizable faces. You're going to get a perspective that's neutral. And that was my theme through this whole thing. I don't believe, and this is I'm a first time filmmaker. So, but I don't believe, and I believe everyone that team, you know, we don't believe that you should know our opinion one way or another. I don't think that that's the proper way to report on what we've seen. Just let the people tell their side. Just let them, you know, their lived experience is exactly that. And we really, you know, I had someone kind of comment when I first started doing this and we were posting on social media, on Instagram specifically, and I had a lady kind of get, you know, kind of testy and say, you know, how could you not talk about politics? And I'm like, because we don't focus on it. It's about humans. It's about their experience and their lived, you know, taking care of their family, paying the bills, going to work. Anybody that was sick with it that they knew, or how their career changed. You know, a lot of people made career shifts, you know. So that's the focus of the film. So don't be afraid when you hear the Pandemic Project documentary. There's no politics in it at all. I really, really worked diligently to keep that theme. Now, I can't say that people didn't give their opinions because, you know, we're not controlling adults, right? We're going to let them do what they do. But for us producers and editors and everybody involved, it was just highlighting who we were in that time. So if you haven't seen the trailer, 7 minutes and 57 seconds, I believe it is, it's on YouTube right now. If you type in these four words, The Pandemic Project Documentary, we should be at the top. There'll be a poster, myself in the middle, and two gentlemen, Gentry and CJ, Christopher John. That's the poster. And I'm actually going to update it today, the poster, because we have some more laurels from the film festivals, you know, for the trailer. So I want to have that reflecting. I think the last time we edited it, we had six. And then by the time I got it back from the editor, we had to add two more laurels. So that's a good problem to have. And just grateful. So shout out to, since we last spoke about this, Tokyo Film Festival. I have it hanging on my wall. We got best director for that, for the trailer. And I love Tokyo. So I'm real jazzed about that. Shout out to Sweden. This, I guess they do a monthly film festival. Thank you for the best trailer award there. And Stockholm. Shout out to Stockholm. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we have, let's see what's going on with our guests. And hey guys. Oh, there she is. There's our wine queen.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
What'd you say?
Oh, that's what I was wondering. Can you hear me okay is what I said.
Oh, she said you might be in the basement. It's going in and out, but we can see your smile.
Hold on.
Can you hear me? You know what, Leah? No. Yeah. No, but try it again. And why you disconnect?
Try again.
Disconnect. And then I'm going to tell people about you why you do that. Okay, she's going to come right back. Okay, so Leah Solberg is one of my besties, and we met at the wine festival in New York probably about 5-6 years ago now. Time just flies. And it was towards the end. I was coming from LA from another event, and I literally got on a red eye. And I went there and met her. She lives in Oregon, right? And I live in California. And we met in New York. And it was the last, like, you know how you're just so tired and jet lagged, like you just have to peel yourself off, like a chicken. And I said, I gotta make this the last day of the festival. And, you know, I'm glad I listened to the little small voice, the still small voice, to go, because she's been just an amazing partner. A lot of exciting things we're launching in the wine space. So, I say this all the time, but like, if you're wanting to do something, there's a reason why. And you couldn't ask for a better partner in wine. She has been just so amazing. And you can find her. Her father started the company in the 80s. He's passed now, but she's got the legacy of the family, and it's called Michael Solberg Family Wines. And she's Leah Solberg. So I've been getting on her about doing a Leah Solberg label because, you know, she's holding it down, right? But when you see Michael Solberg Family Wines on the bottle and you hear Leah, you're like, well, I want to connect the continuity, right, with the name. So I told her she should do a Leah Solberg, Michael Solberg presented by Leah Solberg. We're talking about you, Leah.
Awesome. I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Okay. It looks like you're in the warehouse getting some bottles ready. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, hi. I'm Leah Solberg, owner of Michael Solberg Family Wines. Hold on, let me see if I can. There you go, Michael Solberg. And then we also got the Michael Solberg today. Chardonnay we're drinking.
Cheers.
You know, it's harvest right now, so it's been busy. We're certainly busy, busy. It was early harvest this year, so.
Oh, yeah, let's get into that, you know, because I think people really don't, if you're not a drinker or in the business, you don't understand how the harvest works. Happy harvest, by the way, Leah. I can't believe we're not
Thank
in the grape
you.
Right now.
Yeah.
Happy harvest.
We're busy.
But I was thinking, I haven't gotten into the vines. Maybe we can meet and do some grape stomping just for therapy or something, some wino therapy.
Yeah, but, the grape stomping is more of a novel thing, but I absolutely enjoy it when I get to do it.
Yes. Tell people about harvest. Like, what? It's a very exciting time of year and marks the last quarter, you know, about to be the last quarter. But why don't you tell people from a winemaker's perspective what the harvest is?
Well, it's basically our year-long adventure. And in, you know, the growing process. So at usually around the end of August, that's early, to the beginning of October, we're harvesting all of our fruit and getting it down to our warehouse and just winery facilities and, you know, doing the process of winemaking. Basically, that's the start. We crush it, you know, put it into tanks and or our oak, depending on what varietals we're working with and what kind of flavor nuances that we want to bring out from that fruit. This year, I'm expecting it to be pretty high in alcohol. It's going to be some juicy wine coming out this season. We had to harvest a lot of the fruit earlier in this season than normal, just because of the higher temperatures. So we want it's going to have that really California fruit flavor essence that you come to expect with these varietals. So we're excited about that. You know, we every year it's different things that we go through. Thankfully, this year it wasn't terrible with the fires like in 2020. So we don't expect like the smoke taint that we had with some of our varietals, such as Merlot back in 2020, which we ended up kind of not really, we didn't really serve that up to anybody. We kind of were like, well, this isn't the quality that we want to be distributing. So
yeah,
after, you know, much discussion, we decided not to do our 2020 that year. Well, this past year. So we're excited though, because we're going to bring the Merlot back and it's going to be really great. So I'm excited about that. We've got all new, a lot of new varietals coming up that we will be releasing the next year, new labels, so all sorts of stuff kind of on the precipice and about to be launched. So,
oh, I'm so excited. And I think you're right. I mean, well, I know you're right, because we definitely don't have the barbecue smoky essence of Merlot this year, you know. Keep that for the family cookouts, you know, because people, I mean, it's just like, wow, we couldn't catch a break that year, you know, pandemic and fires and everything else. And I'm glad to hear that it's taken a turn for the positive, given, you know, our horticulture specialists and experts and winemakers a break. And, you know, we were talking about packaging. We have a few more minutes left because, you know, it's a full house today with the shows.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad to tune in and hear what other people are doing.
But you know, it's the packaging and the way that things are going and like keeping it fresh and new. Like, you and I are brewing some things up. We have some things brewing, you know, that we'll disclose later. But, you know, the packaging thing, I'm hell-bent on it. And you know, I had a meeting with our friend from Malaysia recently, you know, about our little secret we're going to do. So what do you want to say about packaging? Because I know that Capo's got a new label. We're excited to see that.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it here in the background. This is the new look for the new Capo Kenya packaging. It's coming soon. Wow.
Hold it up a little closer.
And many more.
Okay. And if you're not familiar with Capo Kenya, it means boss. And it's Italian, and it is Leah Von Dahl, our WWE queen, Carmella, aka Carmella. So not only can she body slam you, she can pour a mean glass of wine. Where can people find you and order that wine, Leah? Because people want your wine.
It's all online, and or you can always get a hold of us via Michael Solberg Wines. At gmail.com or just DM us at any of our social media platforms. Most of them, I believe, are under Michael Solberg. I'll show you again.
Yeah, you're going to have more ordering options soon. We're in the works on that. You guys, hers is kind of exclusive, even though it's priced, right. You know, it's family-friendly pricing. There's the label, and it's a clean, you know, clean, like for Thanksgiving, this is the bottle you want to serve. It pairs well with anything you've got. If you've got bird on the table, if you've got vegetables on the table, if you got more wine on the table, it pairs well with your wine glass, as Leah would say. So check her out. Leah, do we have an announcement? Not to put you on the spot. Do we have an announcement about what we were talking about at the hotel yet? Or are we waiting on a date?
I don't have any specifics yet, but we're still working on that. So hopefully that will be coming up soon and we can kind of relay that to people. It's going to be a great event, wine dinner and or just a tasting event. So stay tuned for that. Back on your packaging question too. I think the more earth friendly we can get, the better. So, I mean, and also being able to have wine that maybe, you know, obviously we've got the canned wine now. There's other, I think, packaging to be thought of as well that can be maybe in the refrigerated section of your market. That's, you know, we've talked about this, a more effervescent varietals that maybe have a little more going on than what we're used to. So
we're going to keep that in mind. But we'll yes. And we're going to keep that in mind. Leah, thank you so much for being here. I have to let you go. I've got my next guest and we will see you soon. You guys check her out. Michael Solberg Family Wine. Cheers, Leah.
Bye.
Bye, girl. All right, you guys. I have a really special guest now, and she's an author of this new book, Relaunch, and boy, is that on time. Let's see, is she here yet? Oh, you messaged me. Well, she'll be here soon, and then we'll relaunch. But check Leah Solberg out, again, at Michael Solberg Family Wines. DM her now. She's good on TikTok. She's got a lot of followers on TikTok. She's on Instagram. She will answer you as quickly as possible. You know, she's an entrepreneur, a mom, a wife. So she's a busy lady, but she wants everyone to experience that wine and it be affordable. And she's kept the price point. I think it's under like $25 with shipping, but don't quote me. But I think it's very, very affordable. So yeah, let's see. I don't know. Let's see. I want to talk about this book, you guys, until Hillary gets here. Relaunch, okay? Hillary, DeCesar, I hope I said it right, DeCesar. She'll have to correct me when she comes on. This is really cool because the foreword is written by John Esaraf. I know his face, so I'm just butchering everyone's name right now, but I know his face because I remember watching The Secret and he was talking about not seeing the full way, just taking the first steps and, you know, driving from California to New York. You're not going to see the full path. You just trust that the next 100 feet will be in front of you. This whole project really changed and helped me shift with my manifestations and focusing, and everybody, you know, uses something different to get where they need to go. But I remember this being a pivotal point for me. So I'm loving this. I want to see what this is all about, but it's called Relaunch. And it's spark your heart to ignite your life. Okay. I'm excited to hear more about this book. If you guys aren't following me on Instagram, please do that. I would love it. At the Startup with Monique Leray. You know, it's a long title, but that's the title. You can follow me on my media page as well. We've got some amazing Emmys week photos up from our gifting suite. Shout out to all the brands that were there. It's at Cap Aquarius Media, C-A-P and then Aquarius. So at like Capricorn and Aquarius, at Cap Aquarius Media on Instagram, on all the platforms. Let me give you the, while we're waiting for Hillary to sign on, let me give you the brands that were there. Skin View, spelled S-K-N-V-U-E. They're the sunscreen skin app that we're telling you about, right? Like if you've got that weird looking mole or something, you can just hold your phone up and scan it and take a look. So shout out to Skin View. La Casa del Camino, you know, that beautiful hotel with the rooftop lounge with Catalina views, sunset views. Shout out to Felton and team there at La Casa del Camino. what can I say? They just remodeled everything. If you're looking for a family getaway, they have this thing called the La Casita that a lot of people don't know about, but it's kind of exclusive and fun. There's a tween unit in the back, separate. You can barbecue back there. It's got a full kitchenette. A full kitchen. Well, it's kind of like a kitchen and a kitchenette together. It's got a stove, some top burners, microwave. It's got an oven. I don't know if it has a washer. I don't think it has a washer and dryer. Three bedrooms. It does have a top and bottom washer and dryer for your clothes. Fireplace, did I say that? I stayed there for my birthday. We had a party for me for my birthday. And I stayed there and had a good time just getting away from, even though I live down the road. So that's a really great place if you guys want to do a staycation or, you know, something to come drive down the coast and come down to Laguna. Check them out. La Casa del Camino Hotel. So Skinview, La Casa. Oh, Deanne from Amor Cachet. Shout out to Agnes and Deanne. It's spelled AMOUR-CACHE, Amor Cachet. Lingerie. But what's different about them when we had her on was that they customize their line to the events in your life. They want to be with you at every stage of your life. And I think that's smart and thoughtful and refreshing because, you know, as a teenager, your body's going to change and then you're a young adult and then maybe you'll become a mom and then maybe you'll become an older person or maybe, God forbid, you have cancer and you need to have a bra that supports. They've just thought of it all. So amorcachet.com. Ungun, Dr. Marty. Hello, Ungun, spelled U-N-G-U-N, right? Ungunning trauma. Boy, is that relevant these days. If you guys haven't seen it, we have a little sizzle reel up on YouTube. Check out my page. You know, it's right there with the Pandemic Project. It should be right underneath it. So Ungun with Dr. Marty. She really does some beautiful work. I had the pleasure and the honor to watch her give some young people tools as they go into college to, you know, stop, breathe, and think. That's her MO. So Ungun Institute on Instagram. Okay, check her out. Or Dr. Marty K. Casey. And it's spelled C-A-S-E-Y. All right. Xavier Caldwell. RexoXo is his rap name. He's a solar celebrity. That's another name for his solar business. Legacy Power. LGCY Power. They were in the house. They were amazing. And yeah, so all these brands were there. I might be missing somebody, but I don't think I am. Oh, of course, Victor. Oh, wow. Victor Ware. Shout out to Tiffany and Isaiah and Mr. Hamilton. They are autism advocates for profit. Victor Ware, she named it after her son's his experience with autism and his journey. So speaking victoriously towards that. So they are out of DC area. Check them out, victorware.com. All right. Well, hopefully Hillary will make it. If she doesn't, we'll have to move on. But check her book out in the meantime. Relaunch, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life. There's some interesting things here. You know, she went through some things with her mom and she has, definitely has a journey, but I can't think of a better time to relaunch your life right now. And, you know, with the pandemic, the endemic, different things with your career or what you want to do with your life, right? You came out of something that is historical. We all did that made it, you know, with respect to the people who did not. So why not relaunch? I mean, it's kind of like a clean slate in a really bad way to get a clean slate, you know? That's how I'm looking at it. Like, it's a reset button. And I think a lot of us are just naturally doing it. We're looking at what's going on, right? With ourselves, around us. The world's still in turmoil with a lot of things. I think you really can't affect what's going on outside. You have to just affect what's going on inside and how you react to it, right? I saw a post recently and it was really, really poignant and I liked it. It said, fix yourself in a way that no matter what happens, you'll be okay. And I didn't mean to rhyme, but it was, you know, I'm probably misquoting it, but you get the essence of that quote the essence of that idea. It's you have to do the inner work, and I'm doing it every day, right? But you have to fix yourself, safeguard yourself and your well-being so that no matter what comes towards you, you can handle it. I'd be lying if I didn't say that I am completely worn out from all the travel from both films. So I had to recently kind of fix myself and just say, hey, I got to give myself permission to be exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. And I had to turn down some invitations to do things and go places because I burned myself out. And I know some people were like, I don't know how you do it. And it's just, I was focusing on the end goal, like the day to day. Like, yes, we're still editing and getting the last little perfect pieces of the puzzle for the film. But to report back and say that we're looking to submit tomorrow night to Sundance, I had to keep my mind focused on that. So I hope that that helps. And I think, Hillary, you've sparked a conversation, girlfriend. We'll have to rebook her. Listen, she's busy. She's selling books. She's probably signing them. She's probably got a line down the block, because this is a cool book. And I'm excited to have met her, meet her, and we will get her on when she's less busy. And yes, thank you so much for sending this along. And I'm excited to hear your take on this. And I'm guessing you can pick it up where all books are sold, right? Amazon, maybe? That's the go-to spot. Just type in Relaunch, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life by Hillary Desire. Desire. I gotta practice, Hillary. I'm sorry. Girl, you should be here to correct me, but we'll get you next time. I have another guest coming in a moment. I gotta finish my rambling. What else do I want to tell you guys? Oh, this hat, you know, it hurts because I don't wear it so tight, but it's nice. I like them snug. You know, I love a trucker hat. F cancer, right? I can't use the F bomb. The sun is still up, but F cancer, or did I already, Sam? I don't know. F cancer is a charity that is going to happen next weekend. We're really excited. We have some swag bag sponsors. Shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines, Leah Solberg. Thank you so much. Shout out to Pop Art Snacks. Shout out to La Casa del Camino and Chef Moore giving auction items to help raise money. There's going to be a star-studded lineup. It's going to be cool. So I'll post some photos on the radio Instagram at some point. Are you guys following us there at the Startup with Monique LeRae? You got two assignments. Follow me on Instagram at the Startup with Monique LeRae and on my media page, Capricorn's Media, so you can see all the pictures so you don't miss out on all the fun, okay? After that, after the F Cancer charity, October 9th, we've got the drag brunch. We're back at La Casa del Camino at their restaurant down below at Commodore. Back by popular demand with Matt Sarafa and the Amber Crane for a bottomless mimosa drag brunch and a costume contest for Halloween. The title of this brunch is Halloween's a Drag. So that's going to be fun. So everybody can participate in the fun dressing up. And oh, look who it is. We've got Simon. Hey, Simon, how you doing?
Did I pop in too early?
Well, you know what? I like that because I know that you're on East Coast time now. You've left us and gone east. Why don't you introduce yourself for the listeners?
Well, I can let you finish up. I thought I was going to be placed in some kind of waiting room or something like that.
No, you get the VIP slot. I guess that. Oh, that's the way my show goes. I ramble until my guests come. They're happy to hear me. So
good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes. It's been a solid minute. Yeah, I'm here on the East Coast for now. We'll see how long that lasts. But I've been kind of excited, too, to hear about how everything's been going with the pandemic project. It seems like some pretty big things are happening.
I feel like there is a seismic shift happening. And, you know, you have been there to support in so many ways. There's some people, you know, just in the background that people don't know that like have had my back, and you know, all will be revealed in due time. And I'm so grateful that you're asking. But before we get to that, why don't you introduce yourself in case people don't know who you are?
All right. My name is Salman Kazani. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, licensed in California. Yeah, that's who I am.
I love it. So Salman, you know, I think last time we spoke, you were talking about, I think you were itching to get out of here. I think you were like, I'm going to backpack and go somewhere else. Cause you did sneak away and do that. And then you gave me some tips for Asia, which were very, very helpful.
Oh man, I'm so glad you did that.
Oh, thank you, because I'm glad I did that. It was something I didn't know I needed to do, and it'll be revealed in the film. But tell me.
I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for me to model. Also, it's a good opportunity for me to model what it's like to kind of take care of yourself in the ways that you need. You know, so when I have clients, I kind of tell them the deal when we meet. I say to them, I say, just so you know, before we get started, here's kind of what I'm like. Here's the deal. You know, I tend to every year I might be away for a couple months or a few months. But I'm always available to you where I am, you know, and I'm always, you know, do proper kind of standard of care, making sure they're left with the right people under the right conditions. But it's important for me to have some exploration in my life. And that's what I'm doing.
You're like, I'm out of here. But you know, that's really healthy though, because especially with the last 2 years being cooped up, I think that you are practicing what you preach, and you're giving us who are out here in the media doing what we're doing some tips for that as well. So that's really, that's encouraging. I mean, what have you found in your move to New York, and how are you managing that, your practice from there?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is for now a temporary thing, but when you say how am I managing, I mean, it's very similar, you know, because everything has been on Zoom anyway since the pandemic. And, you know, from time to time, somebody will come in person and it just kind of ignites something. But I'd say it's been a very smooth transition for me and for a lot of people I know. Initially, there was really this feeling that there was going to be the felt experience and the depth of the work is going to be lacking by not meeting in person. And of course, there's always going to be something lacking by not being in person, right? I mean, we're relational beings. But I found that if in some ways, it's actually increased the level of intimacy that takes place, whether it's because people are in the comfort of their own space, that kind of allows for them to, you know, maybe not even consciously tap into aspects of themselves that are more childlike. And I don't mean that in necessarily the negative way, just it's a bit more disarming. It puts them in touch with things that make them feel more raw and more sensitive. And in a way, it brings you closer as well.
Nice. Yeah. I think, yeah. And, you know, I think we're kind of, well, and it kind of speaks back to Hillary's book about relaunching a little bit and finding, you know, what ignites your life. And like you say, igniting your life is travel once in a while. One of the things anyway, and you're being your best version to help people to do that. And so I think remote is just here to stay. I think remote options are just going to never go away. I mean, what do you find with that? Do you find that that's been the, sitting in the traffic is a waste of time now if you don't have to.
Yeah, you know? I don't see many people. I don't know many people who are itching to come back in person. For me, I don't make a rule out of it, Monique. You know, for me, it's not a rule. It's kind of, it's a fluid thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are times, you know, I might be talking to someone. I'll really get a sense that there's something that needs to happen in person. When I'm there, I say, hey, I think it'd be really good for us to meet.
Yeah.
And if they're open to it, we'll do that. You know, but I think you're right. The way the world is changing. Absolutely.
So, you know, and this naturally takes me to, because, you know, my background is reality TV and dating shows. I mean, that's the heart of it. I mean, I was helping people get laid. That was like MTV meat and potatoes, right? Next, dismissed, blind date, change of heart. You know, if reality TV could be a rom-com, that's what it, you know, that was my bread and butter. And so I'm thinking, although I really love the flexibility of like being in my own little bunker, as we say, what is it gonna be with the dating situation? I mean, I can't do another dating app, Simone. I mean, we're not even meeting in person anymore. How are people, what do you see, foresee, or finding about the dating situation when it comes to all this? Oh, hello. Go full screen on Simone, Sam, so he can answer this one.
Yeah. Oh, I can't see you anymore.
Go ahead.
Are you there? Oh, good. That's better. Oh.
To the question, because I have to adjust something. So we're going to go back to full screen. So you
can answer. No worries. No worries. When I see you, I feel like I can actually connect with you. So I know what I'm remembering, what I'm responding to. Can you hear me though, Moni?
Go ahead. Simone, I need you to go full screen for just a moment. And
oh,
the
you
question
need me to go full screen.
We are going to have you go full screen,
now
but Sam's going to do it.
Okay, there you go.
Yep, there you go. And then you're going to answer the dating question. And I'll.
All right, cool.
Okay, maybe we've got a little technical difficulty. Are you there, Simone?
I'm here.
Okay, so the question I was asking was...
I heard it, yeah. I mean, isn't it interesting that that's what happened while you're asking that question? Essentially, what you're asking is what's the, you know, what are the pros and cons of having this way of doing things? And that's one of them. There's a lack of what you would think that's maybe is a difficulty with staying connected. Yeah. Which is literally and metaphorically kind of what just happened.
You're right. The timing on that was hilarious.
Yeah. But the opposite's kind of happened as well from people that I talk to. You know, when they're on the apps, they talk about also feeling like they're taking things more seriously in a way because they've gone through a period of such lack of connection that they're kind of itching to meet in person as quickly as possible.
Why didn't I think of that? I guess that does make sense. Okay.
I don't know. I get the cynicism around the process because the whole thing seems very impersonal in a way.
Yeah.
But everything has its light and its shadow side. So I'm just kind of pointing out the other side of that.
That's why you're here. You know, I need you to shine a light in these dark places. I'm left with my own ideas, Simone. It's a dangerous
I mean, what are the experiences you're hearing yourself and you're hearing other people are having that are kind of leading to what you're sharing right now?
Well, yeah, maybe so. I mean, also, I think I was not just cooped up, but I was also in an airplane and airports for most of the last 2 years, right? I'm not complaining. I feel blessed to have been able to do that. So my point of view is a little different as well there. But yeah, I think that we can, hopefully we'll get back to center and there'll be, you know, the balance of all that. I think that some people have been expressing online, I've been reading that, you know, how they always say this generation, it makes us sound old, say that to the young people, right? But because our previous generations have said that about us, but some people are kind of mirroring that point of view that like, the social skills might be lacking or the connection, the connectability, you know, because back in the day, right, like you just go and you'd meet somebody and I don't know.
Yeah, it takes a lot more to invite someone into your world, you know, and you have to go through all these processes, all these checklists just to find a way to finally make contact. And then after that, having to actually get acquainted with the person, you know. Okay, so I'm here in New York, and one thing I find is because of the way, maybe it's the way the environment is and the public nature of the space, that there's this kind of what I would call this rough intimacy that makes you feel both very connected and very alive, all very very, but also very alone all at the same time. It's like a mixture of those. So I'm sitting in the park over here and I'm walking by and a young woman walks by and has a giant pizza in her hand and I just double take and she looks at me and she goes, yeah, I'm in a mood, you know, and it's like, it's just, for just a moment It's like she invited me into her world, into what was happening for her, whether that was, you know, whether she was eating some emotion that was happening for her, or whether she was just excited about something or something had just happened to her. But there was a way in which I felt more connected in that moment than a lot of people would describe feeling on these apps swiping through. Yes. And I think that's the essential thing that feels like it's missing, which is the energetic component that gets picked up.
I love that you shared that. And I'm glad that you shared it specifically about New York, because I was there during, I was like, I gotta go. I need to go. I need to be around people, but I need to be away from LA for a moment. And I need to change. I was going through a breakup, and it's the best place to go for a breakup, because you're around people, like you said, but you're alone. I had my headphones on the train, but I gave myself a surrounding that, okay, I'm not alone, but I can be, and New Yorkers won't bother if you don't bother them. It's perfect. It was the perfect place to go and heal yourself. And you never know who you're going to meet on the corner. Somebody might have a pizza.
And I don't want to make it seem like it's just the people, you know, because there's a thing we do when we're like, oh, the people in so-and-so are so much more, you know, and to a certain extent, you know, if you go somewhere, you become that. So in a way, your environment definitely in some sense dictates what's happening in your world and how you interact in your world.
Sure.
You know, so there's a psychological component, but there's very much an environmental one, which is, I think, something that comes up in sessions a lot, you know, the difference between what you have control over, you know, does your environment need to necessarily dictate who you are and how you interact? So let's say you are there in Los Angeles and people are complaining about that dating game. How do you bring that intimacy with you into your day-to-day life when the environment isn't necessarily set up for that? Can you still stand for that? I mean, can you still find what those things are and embody that in your own way and find a way to integrate it into your environment?
Interesting. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of like what I was rambling on before you came on, is like, fix yourself in a way that no matter what's going on outside, you'll be okay, you know, and you've got to cocoon yourself in a healthy way.
That it's an inner experience, that if we're consistently relying on being somewhere else in order to experience something differently, then I don't know, it just doesn't seem feasible.
Huh. But I do want to highlight, though, that New York's train antics
there are
performances
that
are quite
there
unique and
second to none. You know, it's much easier to talk about the people who have it good than to talk about, hey, what you were talking about, which is, hey, there's a struggle here. You know, when you're in places that you have, I don't know how far you have to go to see another human being. What do we say to those people? We say, okay, okay, well, what is it you value about intimacy? What is it you want from it? How is it that you want to engage with it? How is it that you want to perceive it and receive it? And then find a way of creating that to the best of your ability in the environment that you have. But that's not to say don't go and take a jump. That's not what I'm saying either.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. And I think back, like, Wyoming, you know, that stands out for me. People in Wyoming, not everybody. Shout out to Wyoming. I had some good times there. And Jackson Hole is kind of great. But like, that's kind of a suicide capital. There's a lot of people that are lonely there. But it's such a beautiful landscape and wilderness and natural. Like, you could drink out of the stream and see some moose, and it's just a great place to get fresh air. But it can get kind of lonely if you aren't set up, you know, and using some of your tools. So let's switch a little bit, if you don't mind. Simon and I, we never have talking points, you guys, because we have like a good flow. I mean, we always check in with each other, though, about it for some reason. So before we do, why don't you plug your website? And you guys, he's got a fabulous promo video on his website. I love it.
Plug yourself.
Yeah. You were thoughtful about it. And I've been to the place that you've got on there, which is very special.
Lotus Lake. Lotus Lake. Okay, so the plug is essentially all the socials and everything, right? So you can find me at samankazani.com, and I'm on Instagram at to be human psychotherapy. The letters T-O, not the number 2, so to be human psychotherapy. And I'm on Facebook at samankazani LMFT. And those are the three places that I can be reached.
I love it. Yeah. Simone, make a wish. It's 444. I'm seeing consecutive numbers. Okay.
I'm not gonna share it though.
Okay, don't. Yeah, because over there it's 744, right? It's in New York. I love New York. All right. So, you know, with our last few minutes here of the show, I want to touch on the endemic. So I launched this film. Someone told me who's an expert in the business, you know, because, again, this is my first film. And he does features. So he knows what he's talking about for all of them, really. He's someone I check in with and trust his opinion. But I had that little, you know, still small voice that just told me to do it this way. And so I created it in two parts. But in the back of my mind, I knew it was going to be three films. Now it's going to be four. But the fourth one, no one's going to know about until way later. But I say all that to say, I've created a new genre. It's a docu-trilogy. And this third leg is going to be highlighting the endemic. So it's the Pandemic Project documentary. The Pandemic Film is the second, the sequel, the international version. And then the third would be the endemic. And that's just everybody, right? It's just because
endemic means what again?
I'm doing it like a docu-trilogy.
That's what endemic would mean.
The endemic would be the third installation.
You know, because, what I was asking is, what is endemic? What does that mean?
Well, you know, the endemic is the end of a pandemic.
Got it.
But for me in the film and for the viewers, for their experience sake, it would be the cause and effect, right? Because I'm very big on the cause and effect on things, especially of this magnitude. So we're seeing people get divorced. We're seeing the supply chain get disrupted. We're seeing relationships change and pivot. We're seeing health change and pivot. There's so many things, the environment. So the cause and effect, we're going to attempt to address that in the endemic film, the third installation. And I just want your thoughts. Like, you know, we only have a few more minutes and there's a long-winded queue up, but what are you seeing now that we're in the endemic of this thing?
Yeah. There's this thing, you know, that happens when it comes to trauma, where when you come out of the trauma, you're not even aware that you've come out of it. And first of all, we have different interpretations, I guess, depending on who you ask, about whether we're actually out of it or not, whether it's actually over. You know, every day I seem to talk to somebody else who has a different thought about that, based on what they're reading and everything. But there's this experience when you come out of it, you don't actually have a moment of celebration, or you're not even aware that it's over. You know, it's like when the war is over, but the feeling is still there, of still feeling trapped inside that story that's been happening. So I think that's a little bit what's interesting for me. Have people even became aware, let's say when we have the endemic, of, hey, we're not inside of that dream, inside of that nightmare, inside of that story anymore. Mm. Are we even aware of that transition has taken place? That seems like the first piece.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, I guess you know, that's why you're on here, to keep me kind of grounded, because do we see, sense, and feel that we are out of that fight or flight? And yes, it is different for people. I do not want to be disrespectful. I know there's people out here with pre-comorbidities and other experiences and the fragile community amongst us. And we always respect that here at Startup, and myself in the film. I think we can all agree, though, that if we look around and we sense our experiences, our collective experiences, we're definitely at the endemic stage. I'm not saying it's completely over, but we are in a new phase of it. And they usually call it. And how are we going to do? I mean, we've got containers still parked outside. I mean, literally my backyard, you know, is the Pacific Ocean. I'm in Laguna. You know, we've got containers backed up and Christmas is coming. You know, there's still the car key ignition issue. Anyway, I could ramble on with you.
I mean, it's so hard to think of what those transitions are going to be, because I think each person lived the pandemic in their own way. And yeah, there's some collective themes, right?
Yeah.
When we come out of this, which is, what do we want to what have we, the one I hear the most is, what have I been holding back on the most that I want to create for myself? Because there's a real sense of loss that's come from this last couple of years.
I like that. And on that note, we're going to put a button in it here with Saman, because we're going to check in on you in New York, okay? I'll be out there in November. We're going to check in with you, get a slice. And thank you for being here. And we're going to pick it back up next time and explore those. So thanks for making yourself available on the East Side. All right, you guys. That's Saman. Have a good one. And as usual, what will you start up today? I will see you soon. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.